The Web's Michael Smith. It's episode 52 of the Canes Cast, and it's after I saw the Foo Fighters at Wrigley Field. You know what that means?
What's that?
I'm expecting the best of you.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah.
How was the show?
Oh, my gosh. You want it early or you want the review late?
We'll get to it later.
I'll tease it.
Okay.
I'll tease that we're going to talk about that show, just like I'm going to tease that The Web's Michael Smith has an exclusive, because now anytime anybody does an interview with any human on the planet, it is an exclusive. But
that's
this one
true.
Really is, because no one else was talking with Canes defenseman Calvin DeHaan. Or you're welcome that I went on vacation, that you could not only talk to Calvin DeHaan one-on-one, but have tasty beverages with him at Linwood Brewing Concern.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
It was delicious.
Yeah, I could tell.
It's now a recurring video series. Just decided right now, actually. Part two coming sometime in the near future.
All right. So.
Even if he's not there, it's just me and you were there and we're just enjoying beverages.
All right, because I was going to squash that unless I was included in that.
Oh, for sure.
All right.
So as long as you're in town, you're along for the ride.
It's done.
We might as well do a podcast there.
Why not?
Linwood, if you're listening, we could always use a sponsor too.
And
no shame.
And I'm going to be even shameless. You could just have us there. We can say we're there. And just a little, you know, making sure that we have the speaking oil to continue to talk for the podcast.
Yes, exactly.
So we're going to talk to, Michael Smith is going to talk to Calvin DeHaan. What is Mr. DeHaan going to tell us? Can you give us a taste before we get to the interview?
Yeah, he was in town last week while you were away. He came to town to mainly to find a place to live.
Love
for the
it
upcoming
or list
season.
It.
Yeah, sort of the quick Raleigh version of House Hunters. So he gives us a little taste of what he's going to be doing in Raleigh, what excites him about playing for the team in the upcoming season, and just a little bit about everything. I think we talked beers. We talked free agency and what excited him about this opportunity. It was a good chat, and you'll hear that in just a little bit.
All right, sounds good. While we get to that point, we are, I don't want to say on the slow season for the National Hockey League, because we have seen some signings trickle in here and there. But I think as far as the Carolina Hurricanes are concerned, and we get this question a lot for CanesCast, you know, what's going to happen? Are there going to be any other moves? I think right now it's just quiet on the Western front. And as far as the trade rumors that are out there, trade rumors are going to be there as long as players are still on a roster. Breaking news, by the way.
Yes.
But as long as, and the two names that have been most reportedly tied into being dealt, who are Jeff Skinner and Justin Falk, forward defensemen respectively, as long as they're still on the Canes roster, you're going to hear trade circulation rumors around them. That's just going to happen.
And I think we've talked about, and I think both you and I agree that it's probably likely that one of those moves happens. I'm not sure it's entirely likely that both of those moves happen. It's sort of getting to a point where the Hurricanes know they don't have to trade really either of them away just to trade them away, especially Justin Falk, who has 2 years left on his contract. The Hurricanes know they have, still some cards they're holding there with him. With Skinner, it's a bit of a different situation because of his no movement clause and because he only has a year left on his contract. He controls a little bit more of what happens there. But I don't think the Hurricanes are in any rush to do anything with either player. I mean, if either player or both players is on the roster come October 4th, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I think the Hurricanes will be just fine having a former 30-goal scorer and an all-star in Justin Falk on their roster. So I don't think there's any rush, but I do think I wouldn't be surprised if at least one of them gets dealt in the next, month and a half leading up to training camp. But, you know, as we've heard right now, nothing much is happening. The Hurricanes have been somewhat quiet, at least on that front, since, shortly after free agency opened. They got all their restricted free agents signed and under contract, so they're pretty set there. And as far as that goes, nothing much has happened since about the middle of the month. It's a time that slows down a little bit, but it's also a time where I think teams around the league, general managers around the league, look at their roster and start to say, okay, maybe I do need something here, something there, and you might see some moves in the next month leading up to training camp. But the Hurricanes in no rush, though I wouldn't be surprised if one of them gets dealt in the next month and a half.
Yeah, and that's what we've said. And if you've been listening to the Canescast, and this is episode 52 of it, we've said that, I think, the last 6 or 7 weeks about the trade rumors. Everybody asks, you know, how do you think this is going to happen? Who do you think is going to be there? The likelihood for me of one of them gets traded, if we put percentages to it, 75% one of them gets traded.
That seems fair.
If both of them get traded, I'd say the likelihood of that is way less. Like, that's about 25%. And the likelihood that neither of them gets traded, as we move closer to the season, that number goes from what I thought was around 50%, because I thought one of them would go, to the longer we get to and we knock on the door of training camp, they're on the roster unless something happens in preseason hockey where somebody gets injured and somebody's looking for a player. I think that the chance of them staying on the team, it increases with each passing day. But Michael just said it. You know, there's a month and a half before you really have to put out any kind of training camp roster or plan what you want to do. And again, with sounding like a broken record, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world if the Hurricanes come into the season with a guy who can score 35 goals as a forward in Jeff Skinner and a defenseman who's pretty good on the power play in Justin Falk, who we know can get to an all-star level of play and probably wants to get back there this year to show that he should be at that level. So that's where we are. The rest of hockey talk right now, it's just, how is everybody going to be ready for the season? Are they training? Are they getting ready? And I think for me, the most encouraging sign is one that we've seen a few posted on Twitter and at CarolinaHurricanes.com, and that's of Scott Darling really taking his offseason maintenance and working out seriously. That, to me, we can point to a lot of keys for the Carolina Hurricanes. Two things need to improve for me if they're going to be a playoff team. I'm just going to put this out there. If you like it,
I'll take it.
And if not,
I'll send it right back.
If you like it, you can take it. If you don't, send it right back.
That's how that works. The five-on-five scoring has to not just increase, dramatically increase. This has to be a team that has to be more dangerous five-on-five. And then Scott Darling or Peter Mrazek, but one of them has to be a number one goaltender. This can't be a, well, we're in November and still haven't figured out who the number one guy is. One of them has to take the reins of the crease and be the goalie. And if it's Darling, that's great because of the contract that he has, but he seems to be committed this offseason to be the guy who is worthy of the contract, where in his own words he said, maybe I wasn't the year before.
Right.
And Peter Mrazek, who wants the one-year deal, because if he's a one-year deal guy and plays like a number one, ka-ching!
Exactly.
He'll be fine. So.
And he said he loves playing under pressure, and that's exactly what this one-year deal does. It gives him a chance to prove himself. And I think it's also a chance for Scott Darling to prove himself after what was not a great first year. And he'll be the first to tell you that. And you look at last summer versus this summer, and it's night and day what Scott Darling is doing. This summer, he's in the gym 6 days a week. He rests on Sunday. He works 6 days a week. He does workouts in the gym with Bill Burniston. He goes to Pilates to work on his range of motion and flexibility.
Flexibility is a big one, too, especially for a big guy.
Yeah, he does some boxing. That's some cardio work, gets some of the anger out. I asked him if he, you know, pictures Bill Burniston on the punching bag. He says only some days, not every day.
By the way, Bill Burniston of TPANC.com. $5.
$5, Bill. We'll have him on again. Maybe next week.
Yeah, and hopefully he'll pay the tab.
Hopefully so. But we'll submit the invoice to him.
I like what you're saying. And, you know, it's, and Darling is having still a little bit of fun instead of being, you know, the redemption and I have to be. You have to have fun, if I could quote Crash Davis. It's a game. Let's have some fun.
Right. I mean, it's what Cam Ward, you know, wrote on a stick. Just have fun. And I think that's very important. That's going to be important for Scott Darling in this upcoming season, to not dwell on what happened last season, to just go out there and have fun, play his game. The Hurricanes signed him to a long-term contract for a reason, and that reason is they believe he can become a number one goaltender in the National Hockey League. And the work he's putting in this offseason, I think, is working to prove that theory. And not only is he working hard in the gym, but he's also put down roots in Raleigh. He bought a house in North Raleigh. He's living with his girlfriend. His girlfriend's helping him, you know, nutrition-wise.
On the cooking front, yeah, which is, you know, this sounds really ridiculous for some people, but being able to have a home-cooked meal instead of eating out every night, it makes a big difference because nobody likes to eat more than me. I can
and we've got some good spots.
Oh, we got great spots on the road. I like the fact that people kind of turn to us like, hey, we're on the road. Where should we go to eat?
We should maybe do a travel show.
I would.
Food Network, Travel Channel,
Destination America, yeah. Whatever.
Paramount Network.
Around the league.
We'll even do it on Nickelodeon.
Dinner on Ice, whatever you want to call it.
I like both of those ideas.
We can make this all happen. I'm in. I mean, we've been on TV.
We have. I'm not sure I'm going to be allowed on much after the video with Calvin DeHaan. We'll get to that in a bit.
I saw it. I thought you did fine.
Other than my face just turning a heavy shade of red.
Was it because you were embarrassed or because you were imbibing?
Neither. It was because I was sweating and I wiped my face with a towel that I think came off of a floor somewhere. And my skin did not like that.
Amateur move, my friend.
Really amateur move.
Amateur move.
I blame hair and makeup.
Oh, you should.
They <That's>, really messed
that's
up on
who
that
who I
one.
Blame for this face all the time.
But you mentioned, you know, the benefits of a home-cooked meal. And for Scott Darling, in adjusting his nutrition, he's been able to lose some body fat. He's been able to lose some weight. And he says he's right on track for where he wants to be come training camp. Because last year in training camp, he wasn't exactly in peak health coming in. And I think that held him back a little bit. So you look at the work he's done this year and the fact that he's put the work in the gym, in the kitchen. He's got a dog now, too. I mean, it's just part of him becoming part of this community, putting down roots, finding a place he can call home, just making him overall more comfortable. And I think I really do think you're going to see a difference on the ice come September and then October, of course, when the season gets underway.
Yeah, and that is the proof will be in the pudding.
Yep.
You know, you can work out, you can do all the right things, but it's going to be when you get on the ice, are you ready to be the number one and get it going?
And maybe when we have Bill on too, we can talk to him about what he's seen because he's been with him pretty much every day this summer since Scott got back from Europe playing in Worlds and then sightseeing. Him and Bill have basically been attached at the hip, so it'll be interesting to get his perspective on what he's seen.
I'm also interested in the perspective of the goalie pads that Bryan's is making for one Scott Darling because I have to admit, the Team USA pads, those
dope.
Were tight.
Yeah.
Those were really good.
And they did
I love stuff like that.
They turned him around in an instant, he said, because they didn't have – from the moment he found out he was going to Worlds and then, you know, getting over there and playing wasn't too long. So they turned around the pads real quick, and his mask artist in Sweden, Dave Art, turned around a sweet-looking mask there. I'll be interested to see what he has up his sleeve for the upcoming season because he had some nice pillows last year. He went black in the second half of the season and a couple of mask paint jobs that were pretty cool. So I'll be interested to see what he comes up with.
Also, don't sleep on Peter Mrazek. He's had some good masks through Detroit and then his brief stint in Philadelphia. I don't know about you, but I am a goalie mask art geek.
Yeah.
I love it. I've always loved it. I always am curious as to why guys put what they put on their helmet. Who do they go through to get it done? And you know, what is the process? Do they just trust the artist and give them an idea, or do they actually have a hand in it? So
it's really one of the more creative aspects that you see on the ice in hockey because you can't really customize anything else.
It is honestly the most creative outlet that any pro athlete can have.
That's true.
Goalies controlling what they put on their mask. No other player in the NFL, you can't control your helmet.
Right.
You know, basketball, I guess you can get inked up and tattooed, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But
the farthest you can go in football, I guess, is with cleats. And even that's just maybe for warm-ups, right? And then you have to
– I think they give the players a couple of games where you can wear something special and
it would
whatnot.
Be neat. Ovechkin did the skates a few seasons ago. That would be cool, I think, for hockey players if they could do those in warm-ups or, you know, a couple games a year. I mean, it's cool to see personalities come out. And I think the masks is a perfect place for some of these guys' personalities to be – front and center.
Yeah, and so I'm going to be curious to see that. You know what else I'm curious?
What's that?
Curious to find out how your interview with Calvin DeHaan went, newest member of the Carolina Hurricanes Blue Line, the Web's Michael Smith with the exclusive interview.
Hurricanes defenseman Calvin DeHaan joining us here on Canes Cast. Calvin, welcome to Raleigh. What are your first impressions here of the city?
It's Well, I haven't really seen it, to be honest. The airport's clean. That's nice. but it's I've heard only good things about this town. Really looking forward to it.
What's your plan here? I know you're here in town for a few days. What are you looking to do? What are you looking to check off the to-do list?
My girlfriend and I are pretty much here just to, well, we're doing the media scrum today, get that out of the way. Yeah. Just try and set up home base somewhere and maybe get some options on, what small town or, what part of town to live in.
How was that media scrum? 10 minutes or so?
It's easy.
Easy at the end of the day. When you go back to the period around free agency, what was your mindset going into free agency?
Well, especially after last season, I only played 30 games. So it was, a little nerve-wracking. But, we just, there wasn't really any pressure to sign on July 1. So we kind of, my camp, my agent and I, my family, my girlfriend, we all kind of just, waited to see how it was going to play out. A couple of the other defensemen who were free agents this year got scooped up pretty quick. So it was, that was maybe part of our game plan, unless there was something we really couldn't turn down on July 1. But, there was no reason to really jump to a conclusion. So, we just kind of took our time and lo and behold, Carolina came pretty hard, a lot harder than we expected.
When you talked with majority owner Tom Dundon and head coach Rod Brindamore, what was it about what they said that made you think, okay, this is going to be the right fit for me?
I think they're trying to do the right things, make it a player-friendly environment. That's very important, especially coming from New York where, we got a new practice rink. A lot of the amenities changed since the previous ownership. It's something I learned to appreciate and learned not to take that stuff for granted. We got treated very, very well there. And I think Tom and, Rod are trying to, kind of do the exact same thing. Well, maybe not the exact same, but do it with their own flair and with their own design. But it's very important. You want guys to play in markets like these, and starting with a player friendly environment is important.
Was it attractive too to have the opportunity to join such a talented blue line that the Hurricanes have?
Oh, of course. I like to think I can play top 4 minutes on this team. Passing the puck to some of these D-men, it's gonna make my job pretty easy. They're very talented, and from my time in the league, a lot of these guys are still young and maybe not even in their prime yet, and they're probably a lot better than I am, and they're very good, very good players.
Being in the same division as the Hurricanes, you've had the chance to face them a number of times each season. What has it been like playing against the Hurricanes, and how is that going to be different playing with this team?
I feel like this team's underachieved, to be honest. They're good, very good hockey team, young, sneaky good hockey players on this team. It's a team that doesn't get the big media flair and stuff like that, but that's not a bad thing. It's sometimes a good thing. You can kind of just keep to yourself and not have to worry about all that stuff. But this team's good. There's a lot of skill. There's, a good balance of grit and skill on this team and speed, and it's going to be a fun group to play with.
Have you had the chance to talk with any of your teammates or even further with head coach Rod Brindamore and just what he expects maybe from this upcoming season?
Not really in particular. Texted him here a few times, back and forth a few times. But I'm sure we'll meet up at some point in the next few days.
And you've said in the past your goal is to help this team win, is to help get this team back to the playoffs. Do you see that as a realistic goal for this upcoming season, putting the pieces together and getting back to the postseason?
100%. With the blue line that we have right now, I don't think there's a reason why we, shouldn't make the playoffs. Not saying the forwards aren't any good. The forwards, there's a ton of depth up front. They're fast, young, guys who are hungry and want to play and want to win.
Let's talk beer for a second. You're about to open a brewery just outside Ottawa in Carp, I believe. Ridge Rock Brewing, is that, yeah? What can you tell us about that endeavor and how you got into that?
Kind of pretty simple, actually. Just me and a couple buddies were just essentially what happened was you're just sitting around having a couple pints and we're like, let's try it. So the town that we all grew up in, Carp, obviously, there's not really much to do, and there's a community of people there that A, like beer, but B, you know, want the community to grow and expand. It is an investment opportunity, just the way that things are progressing with craft beer, not only down in Raleigh, but in Ontario for that matter too. It's becoming very, very popular. So it's a kind of a, for us, it was mostly about trying to grow the community and have fun with it, and you know, hopefully spark some other businesses to in our small town. We're pretty excited, to be honest, and we've had a ton of support. You know, not even from people in Ottawa or Carp, people from down here, like just, you know, on social media, just, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's cool. It's the beer community is pretty interesting.
It is.
Yeah, it's fun. It's, and beer is also a currency, which is pretty cool too.
Exactly.
A lot of stuff for beer, which is pretty wicked.
What's the status of it? When is the brewery set to open? And what sort of beers are you guys brewing to start off with?
That's up to our brewmaster. We're kind of left it up to him. He's very, very talented. I'm not just saying that, but he's actually very good. We're probably going to start off with four or five, and then we have 16 taps that are at our bar, so, you know, the world's his oyster after that, and that's kind of the game plan for now. We don't really have a set timeline right now. We're still trying to, you know, jump some hoops and get through some of those as well with the city and some final permits and stuff, but, you know, we're hoping mid to late August.
I'd have to check the calendar, but I think the Hurricanes visit Ottawa twice this season, so that's two chances for us to visit your new brewery, right?
Yes, of course. Doors will be open.
Awesome. Can't wait to try some beer, and hopefully you get a chance to try some of the craft breweries around here. I think that might be on the to-do list as well.
Yeah, we'll hit some up for sure.
Perfect. Calvin Dahan, Hurricanes defenseman, joining us here on Canescast. Calvin, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Good stuff, and as I gleaned from your beer tasting experience at Linwood Brewing Concern, the one off of Atlantic, I believe, what is it, Whitaker Mill in Atlantic, where they're at? The old man at 27 years old. Considering I'm turning 43 as this podcast is happening, it is my birthday today, Michael Smith.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
Wow.
When I heard him say, I'm the old man at 27, I'm like, buddy. I'm old enough to be your oldest brother.
I mean, it's honestly hard to believe. The Hurricanes were already a pretty young team last season, but then you take away Cam Ward, Lee Stempniak. I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody. But
well, you're also taking away Noah Hanifin and Elias Lindholm.
That's true. But so, theoretically replacing, you know, with Andrei Svechnikov, who's just 18,
Marty Nachos.
Yeah, Marty.
19.
That's true. I mean, this team just continues to get younger, and it's impressive.
Think about that. You replaced a 23-year-old up front and got younger
right
on your average age. Okay.
And perhaps arguably better. I mean, nothing against Elias Lindholm.
No, nothing at all. But I do know this. Calvin Dahan seems like just a great guy.
Yeah, really good guy.
There is a parlance. There is a phrase of, you know, that's a guy you want to go have beers with. Calvin Dahan is literally that person.
Can confirm.
He is that guy. Yes, you do. He just seems great. I think he's going to be a good addition. And the Hurricanes have made a lot of great additions. Where do you feel on the off-season grades? Because they're coming out, and look, it's space filler for websites and magazines and everything. And
it's the slow time.
For what we do, I mean, we're going to chew on this for a minute or two. I'm always apprehensive the more I get down the road of handing out grades on what these teams have done, because we haven't seen them play.
Yeah, exactly.
And while you can sit there and say, oh, adding this player, that's an A+. Well, we've got to see him play. If he's the right fit, is it the right system? Does he mesh with the players? I'll use an example. The Webb's Michael Smith is a Carolina Panthers fan for the National Football League.
Yes.
I'm a Minnesota Vikings fan. The Vikings signed Kirk Cousins to play quarterback, and everybody's like, oh, well, they got the best quarterback on the market. Well, did they? Is that the right fit? Now, if they win the Super Bowl, absolutely.
Yeah.
It was great, but what if they don't make the playoffs? What if he's not the right guy? What if he doesn't gel with the wide receivers or the offense or the offensive coordinator? There's all those questions, and I mean, you know this with being a Panthers fan. How many times have you seen them make a move and people are like, oh, this is going to work out really well? Or the other thing, it's a complete disaster if you lose a player. Is it?
Right. So, yeah, I mean, you never really know until the games begin. I mean, that's where it all happens. Yeah. But I think looking at on paper what the Hurricanes have done, I've seen some grades around the internet. It probably averages around a B+ or an A-.
B+, I think, is the low side from what I see.
And that seems fair. I mean, the Hurricanes have made moves, part in luck in winning the draft lottery and being able to take Andrei Svechnikov.
Can I just throw this out?
Sure.
I don't think we should include drafting Andrei Svechnikov with a number 2 overall pick as part of an off-season move because, like you said, that fell into the Hurricanes' lap. Now, if the Canes traded up to the number 2 pick to draft Svechnikov, that to me is an off-season move. Mm-hmm. But winning the lottery, I just view that as, well, this is a guy who's a roster player. He's already there. Yes, it's great, but unless they did something like they drafted a guy who is never going to play in the NHL – and even then, we don't know that for 2-3 years.
Yeah.
So I almost want to leave the Svechnikov acquisition of the draft pick out of it because, yes, it's an off-season pickup.
Right.
But it's not like the Canes went out and had to sign him or re-sign him. I know they had to draft him. But after Rasmus Dahlin, it was a no-brainer that was the guy to be drafted. Sorry, Twitterverse, that it was you thought this was some movement that you were going to put out there. But he was the guy all along, okay?
So if we put that aside, even considering that, I think...
So that's I kind of almost want to judge it off of that and not the Svechnikov pick.
Yeah.
Because I think that it's an A pick. He is the second best player according to everyone on the planet. That's the pick you have to make.
So you consider then the trade that the team made over draft weekend to acquire Dougie Hamilton and Michael Ferland and Adam
and
Fox.
And the Reds, Adam Fox, yeah.
And then, the signing of Peter Mrazek, the signing of Calvin DeHaan.
Signing of Jordan Martinuk, which happened so early that we forget about it. Or when I say signing, trade.
Yeah, trade.
When you're moving Marcus Kruger, and then Arizona moves Marcus Kruger back to Chicago.
Who continues just to circle his way around the NHL. Literally on a map, basically made it well. No,
well,
I guess he went to Vegas.
It's the same part of the country, if you will. Remember, he went from Chicago to Vegas to Carolina.
Yep.
Now he goes from Carolina to Arizona back to Chicago. Yeah. So
and
it's just
weird that he touched those teams and didn't even play a game for 2 of them.
I wonder what those jersey retirement ceremonies are going
to
be.
What a great Golden Knight and Coyote he was.
That's still a piece I would like to do, and we can. With Trevor Van Riemsdyk.
Yeah, who scored his first goal of the season.
But great, great memories in Golden Knights history. Just they walk them through.
I was expecting a big ceremony that night. And
I did.
It
whenever,
didn't happen.
Whenever a player who means so much to your team comes back, you got to have something ready for him.
Yeah, but, they got the last laugh, Kruger and Van Riemsdyk scoring goals and getting the W, too.
Exactly. You all right?
Sorry, yeah. Got me.
You got emotional thinking about those ceremonies?
Yeah, I got real choked up thinking about how special of a night that was. It actually was special, Cam Ward getting his 300th win. But, back to the offseason grades, I think the Hurricane. I think it's about right. I think the experts have sort of hit it on the head where the Hurricanes succeeded this offseason on paper. I think there's a little bit of a question mark there with Peter Mrazek and the goaltending. Can he get back to form? Can he reach that level that he played at, in Detroit a few seasons back where he was the primary starter and he led that team to the Stanley Cup playoffs? But other than that, I think the Hurricanes have only improved. I mean, it's hard to believe that the defense that we know is, one of the best in the league only got better. That's sort of hard to believe, but the Hurricanes somehow accomplished that and a great job by general manager Don Waddell and his team upstairs here at 1400 Edwards Mill Road. I think it's about fair, the Hurricanes getting graded B+, A- on paper. But like you said, it really doesn't matter once that puck drops on October 4th because that's when the true grades are determined.
But whenever you make off-season acquisitions, And that means moving out players and bringing in players. And that's why, like, the draft to me is always its own separate entity. You grade drafts. You don't say, oh, well, the Canes got, and if it's Sidney Crosby when he was a number one pick, or Mario Lemieux, well, that's what they were supposed to take.
Right.
You know, moving up to it, as I've already stated in my case, makes it different. But looking at what they've brought in from that front, they have addressed and upgraded at certain positions, and one is a giant question mark. What I like, this team needed to be grittier and tougher. Michael Ferland and Jordan Martinook make this a grittier, tougher team up front. They're going to take a lot of that burden that Brock McGinn had to do, that heavy load of being that kind of energy guy, tough guy, and it fell on Jordan Staal as well, and Justin Williams was trying to do it last year as well. Guess what? Jordan Staal, Justin Williams, you guys, you do you now. We've got two guys who can take care of that. So I like that upgrade in the offseason for the team. On the blue line, you add one of the best power play specialists, one of the best offensive defensemen in the league. I'm not trying to pump the tires anymore for Dougie Hamilton that need to be. That's just the flat-out truth.
Yeah.
So you bring him in, the power play is going to be better. Then you bring in Calvin DeHaan, who's steady, and John Forslund's talked about it, and I agree with him. He might be the best defenseman, if you're talking all-around game, that the Carolina Hurricanes have. Offense, defense, and how he plays. And that's not a, hey, disrespect to Jacob Slavin or Brett Pesce or Dougie Hamilton or anybody who's on Justin Falk. It's no, that's not a disrespect. That's like his whole game, he plays that well-rounded game. So you've got better with DeHaan, you got better with Hamilton, you've gotten better with Ferland, you've gotten better with Martinook at positions you needed to improve. There are still question marks, and the one place that the Canes are going to be judged is going to be in goal. And if Peter Mrazek can get back to the guy from a couple of years ago in Detroit, Michael Smith, you had an A, maybe an A-plus offseason as far as acquiring players through trade and free agency. But I hate to pin it on one guy. The goaltending situation is what everybody's eyes are going to be looking at in Carolina because of what it's been for the last few years and what it was last year with Scott Darling not being able to take over the mantle of number one, and that's what the team wanted him to do. So it's kind of, to me, what we're talking about and why I'm not hesitant, but I kind of always hedge it or roll the eyes at it when I see some of them because you got to play. But Peter Mrazek is the bell curve. You know, we just talked about all these acquisitions, and one guy is either going to make it an A-plus or a C. You know, that's not fair to Peter Mrazek either. Mm-hmm. It's not fair to one guy, but that's what's going to happen. Because if Peter Mrazek does become solid or the goaltending solid, you know what's going to be written. You do it. You write it. Oh, the offseason acquisition, A-plus.
Right.
If he is subpar, if he is what he was in Philly, Canes really missed this offseason, number one priority, and it doesn't matter what Dougie Hamilton and Michael Ferland do if that happens. So unfair, but such is life.
Only time will tell.
Yes.
What a cliche that is.
You got any other ones?
No.
We'll see what tomorrow holds.
Oh, yeah, cliche, yeah. In the books. In the books is an all-timer. And it's, you know, I feel bad using in the books or only time will tell sometimes. Sometimes I guess there's not really anything else you could use. There's got to be something.
Oh, there's always something.
Only time will tell.
It's
with this podcast, another podcast in the books.
There's a Bill Parcells quote that I love.
What's that?
You know, let's not bring out the anointing oils yet. You know, before anybody wants to say, oh, this is it, let's just hold off on that.
Yeah.
I'm also big on Zen philosophy. Bet you didn't know that about me, but yeah.
We're learning new things.
Man of the world.
Each
cultured,
and every
if you
podcast.
Will. Thank you. It's been hanging out with the Web's Michael Smith, so I figured I had to up the game. And that's where I'm at. But have you ever seen the movie Charlie Wilson's War?
No.
You should see it because it's outstanding. Tom Hanks, Philip Seymour Hoffman's in it. Julia Roberts is in it. It's
great cast.
It's a really good story. And it's true. Basically, I'm not going to get into the details of the movie. We're not here for a review. But Philip Seymour Hoffman is a CIA agent, and he's working with Congressman Tom Hanks, Charlie Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the movie, like, they accomplished what they wanted to, and Philip Seymour Hoffman tells this story about the Zen philosopher. And it's a story about a boy who gets a horse in a village in, you know, China. And the answer that the Zen philosopher gives to every situation is, we'll see. Because if something good happens, they go, isn't that great? And his answer is, we'll see. Then something bad happens, isn't that terrible? We'll see. So that is my answer. We'll see.
We'll see. Only time will tell.
Only time will tell.
Those two hand in hand, really.
Exactly. What will be, Michael Smith.
That's, it is what it is.
Did we have any questions?
Yeah, one guest.
I was going to say.
One guest submission for this popular segment.
Great. Any queries, bring them on.
If you like it, take it. If not, send it right back. The NHL should allow teams to wear any of their uniforms for any game, with the home team choosing their jersey first. That's from Carl Kikis, or as we called him very early on, Carl Cucumbers.
Is it Kikis or is it Keeks? I'm going to continually say 35 names because when I see Key, spelled K-E-Y, that's Key. Mm-hmm. But when I see K-S or K-E-S,
yeah.
Like K-S is K-S, and then K-E-S could be Keys, K-S, Backus, like David Backus. Is it Kikis?
K to the R-L. That's what we're
That's better.
At K to the R.
And we love him because he is a great contributor to this podcast with questions.
And we're going to continually mispronounce his name because we're committed to that bit.
I'm all in at this point. It's like, who's on first? We can't all of a sudden just not sell it.
Right.
It's like pro wrestling. If you're going to hit me with a racket, I'm going to sell it. Yeah. That's what it has
to
be.
That's part of the show.
So what is it? Is it Kikis? I don't know. But that would be, he would have had to spell it Kikis.
We'll see.
Absolutely. Look at how it all comes somewhat full circle. Much like Marcus Kruger going back to Chicago.
Getting to the question, I think it's a great idea in theory, but in practice it would be very tough to pull off because of the equipment that the visiting teams would need to lug around. It's a completely different set of equipment when you're talking about a road uniform or like a third uniform with the Hurricanes. Those are different shells for the pants, different helmets, different gloves. That's even more different than you're talking about just red versus white. So I love the idea because I like variety.
Yeah.
I like the color versus color like Tampa Bay and Carolina had in preseason here last year. But it would logistically be kind of a challenge.
Yeah, that's the tough thing. You could only do it, I think, if a team was coming up for one game, if it was a one-off trip, or they were having a two-game road trip and both teams they were playing agreed to, all right, you're going to wear your home jersey or your third jersey on the road for us, and that's how that works. But what Michael's saying is teams travel with a ton of equipment. Mm-hmm. You know, this is not the NBA where you're bringing jerseys and sneakers. You know, that's
a lot easier to travel with multiple uniform sets there because there's not a lot of fabric.
Yeah. Major League Baseball is kind of in that same way, although the funny thing is you do see some teams that have all of these different, you know, mix and match that they can do for uniforms, which that one I'm always along the lines of, wow, that is
impressive.
There we
have a strobe light going off in here.
That's my phone.
A rave beginning.
Well, because I never have my phone on ring. Because I'm that considerate human being.
Yes.
Who sits in the meetings and then just has, I want to make
a strobe
party.
Strobe light going on.
You got a problem with this ending in a rave?
I feel like we should have some EDM music going off right now. The one.
I am so Swedish house music right now.
Okay.
All I've been. I saw Dave Grohl, but just give me all of the. Give me Marshmallow Head or whatever his name is.
Yeah, close, yeah. I think. The one thing that I could see the NHL going to or would be, I think, way more plausible would
like
be
Daft Punk, though. Oh, I'm sorry. We're still on the uniform.
You know, not a bad selection.
No. But I think we both like Carl's idea.
Mm-hmm.
In theory, it's great. I just think in practice, it can't work.
The AHL switches between white and color at home.
Home and road jerseys, like what, 41 games in?
Yeah, so half the season they play in white at home. The other half they play in their color jerseys.
I like that.
I don't mind that idea. I mean,
it after the All-Star break.
Right. It gives the fans some variety, at least. The NHL could do that. I mean, it might be kind of confusing if you're following on TV and just, you know, if you don't look at the scoreboard bug, which yeah. of course always has the home team on the right, it could be kind of confusing otherwise, but
no, I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
And honestly, I grew up when I was impressionable, the whites were the home jerseys. So mm-hmm. I always equate the home team to wearing white.
Yeah.
So but I'd now be fine with if they like, switch back to it.
But now with, you know, the NBA having teams having what, 3 or 4 jerseys yeah. with the NFL, it's always you know, mixed up. It's become a situation.
Well, the Cowboys are the team that have ruined everything on that because they're the only team that really wore white at home. Everybody else wears their darker color at home.
Right.
So it's another reason to blame the Dallas Cowboys for
I'm
something.
I'm fine with that.
I knew you would
find many reasons to blame them for, you know, a myriad of
topics.
Yes.
And problems in the world.
Let's talk about Chicago real quick.
Let's talk about
you were
Chicago.
Away in Chicago over the weekend to see an indie band called the Foo Fighters.
That is correct.
Some guy named Dave Grohl on guitar, lead vocals.
I had years ago seen him in a garage band, but he was the drummer for them.
Yeah, I don't think...
So you might have never heard of them. They were called Nirvana.
Mm.
So I saw him play drums there, and I'm like, you know, he was a good drummer. Now he's out on his own. Is this like a Phil Collins Genesis thing where he's playing drums and then Peter Gabriel leaves and then he sings? Just so I can figure out, is this worth my time?
Right.
Didn't think I was going to dig into that reference, did you? No, I mean, it was a great show.
Yeah.
The Struts opened up for him. Don't sleep on that band.
Well, I was going to ask if anyone opened or if it was just a straight evening with the Foo Fighters.
No, the gates opened to Wrigley Field at 6 o'clock. And I'm going to geek out. For people who don't know, I'm a huge baseball fan. I love baseball. And I know I'm that guy. I'll yell at a cloud later as well. But it was general admission on the field. So I'm standing on Wrigley Field.
And
Babe Ruth, Andre Dawson, right field.
And what do they put down, like, on the turf itself?
It was like a plastic court that, you know, that they would cover up. You know, it was the lawn was protected.
Right.
But you could still touch the bricks and ivy, which I did several pictures of that. Our good friend... The OP, original podcaster, Kyle Hanlon, was there. And eventual guest Mike Sundheim was there as well, who is
one day
the Canes director of, and I think he's got 37 titles.
Yeah.
So we'll see if he gets there. Bill Burniston, the Hurricanes head strength and conditioning coach, was not there. I believe he was at TPANC.com.
He was there in spirit.
$5 more for us. But there was an opening act, but that was at 6. And we knew that the Foo Fighters were going to play until 11 o'clock.
Right, because that's probably the noise curfew.
Yeah, in Chicago. And we knew they were going to take it there. Actually, somebody said 10 o'clock, maybe on Sunday. And Dave Grohl just said, I hope you're ready for a long evening when he took the microphone. So we kind of knew that. We went in for the second band, the Struts, who were really, really good. And in fact, I think they're coming to Raleigh in October. And we might be in town. So
ooh.
Kind of like a British, I don't want to call them like a, it's not glam rock, that's not the right term for it, but a mix of Oasis and Queen.
I'm intrigued.
They were good.
I am intrigued.
One of the people we're with goes, wow, the lead singer listened to a lot of Queen as a kid, didn't he? And I'm like, yeah, he
there's
did.
Nothing wrong with it.
Which will lead me to a song that was done during the show. But Dave Grohl comes out. Hopes we're ready for a long show, runs onto the stage with a guitar, runs playing the guitar, and just starts. And it was everything. It's the greatest hits. It was covers. It was phenomenal. He did a cover of a song that really he wanted to bring the country together. And have you seen the Foos?
I haven't.
Are you a fan?
Yeah. Yeah.
Then you have to go see him because it takes it to the next level. Because Dave Grohl is one of the last rock stars on planet Earth.
Right.
And again, don't at me because he just is. And people who complain about the Foo Fighters, like they've never evolved. And I don't want to get into a music discussion, but we'll get into it because it's our podcast.
We can do what we want.
Exactly. Episode 52 of the Canes Cast. And if you make it this long, folks, you're the loyal listeners of the show. This is the stuff that you kind of expect to get at the back end. So here we are. There are people who think, well, they've never evolved, or it's just the same thing over and over again. think of every band that's out there, and anytime they did something different or a one-off album, how the fans lost their freaking minds. Look, it's a rock and roll band. They play rock and roll, and they play it really well. I mean, I'd seen Radiohead, who's not a rock band, 2 weeks ago. Technically the most perfect show I've ever been at, sound-wise and how the music's supposed to go. Was this a technically perfect show that I saw at Wrigley? No. But
that's rock and roll.
Did it just kick everybody in the face? Faces were melting. That's what that show did.
That's all you want.
And it did. So the cover, because Dave Grohl is a great showman, and he's funny. But he goes, you know, at this time, I don't care who you are, what you like, what side of the fence you are. He goes, I just want us to all come together. That's why we're here at Wrigley. That's what we're going to do. So they start playing Imagine from John Lennon to get everybody. He goes, I want us all to sing a song together. And to the music of Imagine, Dave Grohl gingerly sings the song Jump by Van Halen. And
wow.
It fit.
Really?
And it was perfect. And it had the audience laughing and singing, and everything was into it. Taylor Hawkins, who is, how would you like to be the second best drummer in your band, and you're the drummer for the band?
Yeah.
And you're probably the second best drummer in the world. Don't at me on that one. But, I mean, Taylor Hawkins is up there. I mean, he's unbelievable. Dave Grohl, though, jumped on drums during the show.
Yeah.
He did. Are you familiar with a band called Cheap Trick?
Yes.
They're from Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Their guitarist Rick Nielsen came out on stage as Taylor Hawkins sang a Cheap Trick cover song.
That's awesome.
With Rick Nielsen playing
guitar.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
And it's, yeah, it was.
That's an experience.
And the song was, by the way, I believe a Fats Domino cover, because it's Ain't That a Shame, which Cheap Trick covered, which Taylor Hawkins covered with Rick Nielsen on guitar. That happened. All of that happened.
That sounds like a great night.
And then Taylor Hawkins and the lead singer of the Struts, forgive me for not knowing his name, the lead singer of the Struts comes out, and they start playing what some people might think of is the beginning of Ice Ice Baby, but really it's Under Pressure, the David Bowie Queen collaboration,
mm-hmm.
and they did Under Pressure, and it was amazing.
It's
a great show.
That's special.
And I was on Wrigley Field, where Andre Dawson, Babe Ruth, and Lou Gehrig stood. Why do I know that? Because the New York Yankees won a damn World Series in Chicago, and that's where my mind goes. You're welcome.
Boom.
And Paul O'Neill as well.
That sounds like a great night.
It
great
really
night
was.
In Chicago.
Played till 11.
Yeah. Right at the stroke of 11.
Played to 11, and
these go to 11.
Exactly. You took me right there, my friend, because that's the way it should be. In the words of Spinal Tap, I believe Michael St. Huggins.
These go.
Well, why don't you just make 10 one louder?
Yeah.
Well, that wouldn't be 11. It was, folks, if you like the Foo Fighters, you have to see them
and
live.
And if you like good cities,
Chicago's
you
a great
live
city.
In Chicago.
I finally went to Velvet Taco without you. Feel like I kind of betrayed you a little bit, but
it's okay.
It was good. Lots of good tacos.
Yeah. Lots of options.
Yeah.
Lots of options.
By the way, if you're going to a place like that, they don't take anything off of a taco.
Yeah,
this is how they come.
Just order the taco.
That's it. And then you have fingers pick the stuff off that you don't like.
Or eat it and be pleasantly surprised.
Thank you. That's my whole attitude towards food. As you can see,
just
I enjoy
it.
Exactly. It comes that way for a reason. Now, unless you're allergic to it, just try it.
Just try it. Or if it has mushrooms on it, then get rid of those, because that's disgusting.
You, sir, are a fool. A damn fool.
Get rid of the fungus. And
mushrooms are beyond tasty.
So I've heard.
They are. Do you even try?
I'm sure I've tried on accident.
That's like younger me going, I'd never eat Brussels sprouts. And now Brussels sprouts are amazing.
Brussels sprouts are good.
Yeah.
No argument there.
Yeah. You just need a fried mushroom. Get you going in the
well,
right direction.
Well, you fry anything and
exactly.
then we can talk.
But that's it. It's the baby steps into the pool.
That's true.
So that's all I'm saying.
Anything else? I think we covered.
No, I think we covered it. Yeah.
Pretty much everything.
Absolutely. That's it. We'll do another one next week.
Yeah.
Another
on Monday.
Canes cast. Yeah. No concerts for me.
No concerts.
I'm now old, so.
How old are you today? Do you want to share with the audience?
Well above 40.
Some age.
16 years. 16 years older than Calvin DeHaan, who said he's the old man on the blue line.
You can do the math, everybody.
Would be yes.
All right. Well, we'll
talk. I'm 43. Because somebody out there is going to be like, just say it. It's 43. Carl, K to the Arl. That's for you. I'm 43.
43.
So
almost one off from the Jackie Robinson movie.
Well, I was that.
You were that.
For the whole last year. Thanks for noticing.
Yep.
You know, Mariano Rivera, last guy to be grandfathered in on that. But yeah, no, it was great. Baseball in Chicago, too. Went to Guaranteed Rate Field. Worst name. I can't think of a worse name. It used to be called the old ballpark was Comiskey. Then it was New Comiskey. Just keep it at that. Yeah. Then it went to U.S. Cellular, and now it's Guaranteed Rate.
Guaranteed Rate Field.
Step in the Wayback Machine with me. And I get it. You got to have sponsorship dollars, and it's great, and it's opportunities there.
I'm sure Guaranteed Rate paid a good sum of money.
And I'm sure it was a guaranteed rate.
Ooh.
Thank you. But I just always liked the names of iconic stadiums and venues, and now it doesn't matter. Like, hey, what's the name of that place? Don't know. You know Fenway Park. If I say Fenway Park, you don't have to question what I'm—
You could even just say Fenway.
Yeah, going to Fenway, going to the Fens.
Or Wrigley. Even though that is, I suppose, a corporate thing now.
Well, it was Wrigley, gum. It was, yeah. I mean, but Wrigley owned the team and built the stadium. So, yes, you could say that was the first corporate, but nonetheless.
Yankee Stadium.
Still Yankee Stadium. Good times.
I think everything else pretty much has a name at this point.
Maple Leaf Gardens, the Montreal Forum. I'm just going Chicago Stadium. Just going to the iconic Barnes and
the old Barnes, yeah.
Soldier Field in Chicago.
Mm. Still Soldier Field, right?
Yeah, still Soldier Field.
Yeah. It looks kind of like a spaceship now, all the things they've added to it.
So that's all. There's our look in the Wayback Machine. Thank you for indulging me.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
I'm allowed to be, you know, turning older, and you let me be old. Back in my day, yeah, stadiums were called this.
Now we get to go tell.
We loved it.
We get to go yell at a cloud, as you said.
Oh, I will. Absolutely.
Just right onto the roof and just start shouting.
What are you doing, cloud? Or yell at the sun for being too hot. One or the other.
Yeah,
I don't know what I'm going to do. All right. Well, we made it through episode 52. Great interview with Calvin DeHaan, my friend.
Thank you.
And little jealous that, I mean, I was on vacation, so I can only be so jealous.
You were in Asheville enjoying beverages as well, I think.
They have
one or two.
Beer there.
Yes.
I might have sampled.
Some good
much
food.
Like you. Just sampled.
Samples only.
Got a great restaurant to go to in Asheville, too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
Want to leave it hanging there?
Yeah, we'll leave it hanging there. We'll come back to it next week.
You know what? We'll find out how many people make it this far on the podcast. If you want to know what restaurant I went to in Asheville, and it's tapas, so that might give it away, or tapas, however people want to call it. But
probably a Google search is going to give it away.
That, yeah. But if you want to know what it is, just send me a question on Twitter, at Mike Maniscalco, and I will be more than happy to answer it.
We'll be back on Monday,
yep.
Our usual day. Yep. Maybe we'll have a guest for episode 53.
Working on that.
Efforting,
right now, as people say.
Maybe Bill Berniston. We'll reach out to him and see
TPANC.com.
if he's busy. That's $15 he owes us just from this podcast.
Well, he got mad that we might have excluded it on a day, and now we brought it back. Make goods.
Yeah.
I used to work in the industry.
Just come ready with your wallet, Bill. We'll be waiting.
That's all we're asking for. So, for the web's Michael Smith.
And TV's Mike Maniscalco.
We will talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.